I want to read two or three verses here. The seventh chapter of 1 Corinthians, verses 32, 33, and 34, I believe, will cover the ground. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now, I think this is beautiful. Yes. And I call this the model. There's a song that's up to date, it's contemporary. It's a wedding song. I hear it sung at various weddings around, and it was sang at mine and Evelyn's wedding. 19 years ago, will be in a couple of weeks or so. And I remember it being sung. And that song is each for the other and both for the Lord. Now, folks, I think that's a grand model. If you can get a family set up on that basis and a marriage set up on that basis, each for the other and both for the Lord, you've got something going for you. That's a real model. This lets me know in this text that when a young man and a young woman enter into marriage, they give themselves without reserve to each other. Sometimes the wife just settles back and says, I'm my husband's responsibility. It's up to him to take care of me. But he's her responsibility too. And it's up to her to take care of him to a certain, in a certain measure. In these verses that I read, it says the married man seeks how he may please his wife. The married woman seeks how she may please her husband. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. You enter into life this way, and each of you studying and seeking to discern the needs emotionally, physically, and every way of each other, and seeking ways and means to please one another and fulfill those desires and those needs, you're not going to have many problems. There won't be much trouble develop in a relationship like that. Both of them seeking first of all to please God, and then when it comes to the things down here on this level, each other's the first priority with both of them. Seeking to please one another. Now I closed out not last Sunday, but a couple of weeks ago, we had a Mother's Day service last Sunday. But I closed out on this text and on this thought that we get by giving. Now that's an age-old maxim, but it's always true. We get by giving. And the more we give, the more we get. And Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. If you enter into a marriage relationship just desiring to receive and to be pleased, you won't be. But if you enter into it desiring to please and to give, you'll be the happy one, the blessed one. More blessed to give than to receive. And I mentioned to you in that little message that I can speak that from first-hand experience. When Opal was taken and I was left alone, naturally I was doing some reflective thinking back over our lives together. And I noticed that I got the greatest comfort and satisfaction when remembering the things that I did for her more than what she did for me. That'll work. And that'll bring you contentment and satisfaction and peace. Jesus said, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, shaken down, or pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom." Now I know Jesus was talking about something else when he said that, but there's a principle there that I feel will apply just as truly to those tokens of love, tenderness, interest, and attention that spouses render to each other as well as in any other area of life. Now, marriage is something that must be worked at continually by both partners to maintain it at the level that it should be. We should think of it in the same light as we think of our salvation. Now, every one of us knows, and perhaps we have all had some experience along this line, and if we get slack in our Christian duties, reading God's Word, meditating on the Lord and the things of God, and attending the services of the church, and praying, and working for God in whatever ways are available to us, if we get slack in those things, our experience is going to go stale, and our zeal will wane, and our love for God and the things of God will diminish. Now, I've had some times like that, and you may have. I don't say you have, but you may have. And then we need to face up to the fact that everything isn't as it should be, and get busy restoring ourselves with God. It's the same way with a marriage. If the partners fail to keep their relationship fresh and renewed day by day. Now in our spiritual lives, he said, the inner man is renewed day by day. It's something we have to work at every day. But if we fail in this part of our lives, our marriage relationship with our partner, to keep that relationship fresh and renewed day by day, and keep the fluid, fervent love flowing fresh and vibrant in our hearts toward each other, that marriage is going to go stale and it'll sour. It must be kept fresh. And there must be a daily exercise of it. After all, God's word never said, husbands, love your wives on the wedding day. When you stand with her at the marriage altar, love her. Love her then. No, it never said that. It just said, husbands, love your wives. As time goes on, as they get older, as the charm and beauty may fade some, and maybe health breaks, you promise at the marriage altar to take each other for better or worse, for sickness or in health, or however. If health breaks, if your partner suffers a stroke, becomes incapacitated, maybe difficult, you're supposed to love them right on. Brother Mark Spinks brought us a message here on marriage a while back. I call it a ringer. And I've been toying with the idea that somewhere along in this line of discussion, I'd play that record. And just let you hear that message again. And I haven't dropped the idea yet. But the focal point of it was, rejoice with the wife of your youth. She's not young anymore. You're not young anymore either. You're not a Prince Charming either. And we should love one another in old age as well as we did in our youth.
Yes.
Just keep it fresh. When a man and a woman lock themselves in by a marriage commitment to each other for life, and shut out all other men and all other women, both that man and that woman is going to need continual reassurances all along. Don't ever let that die, folks. Evelyn and I'll never let a day pass. But what, two or three times during the day, we will say to each other, "I love you," and maybe pat them a little or give some token. We've almost talked ourselves into believing that we do. We just keep saying that. Now, as I mentioned, they're not always going to have the capabilities that they have in youth. But I don't have the capabilities that I had in youth either. And I don't expect my wife Evelyn to have the capabilities that she had in youth. But I'm supposed to love her and she's supposed to love me just the same as time goes on. But folks, if you overlook these things and fail to renew and revive that commitment day by day, your marriage is going to go stale and sour, and you'll come out down at the end like I've seen numbers of people do. They've been well taught and they've been better trained and they know it's not right to separate and draw away, but their marriage has gone stale and they just wind up two people living in a house. And that's about all there is to it. They should be having the same tenderness and the same interest and the same affection one toward another, and they will have if they keep it alive. If they just keep working at it. There's a song, it's not a contemporary, but it's a real good one, I think. And that's the old, old song, "When You and I Were Young, Maggie." And it refers back to the things that they did when they were young and all. But in the chorus it says, "But now we're aged and gray, Maggie, and the trials of life nearly done. But to me you're as fair as you were, Maggie, when you and I were young." I think that's sweet. I think that's a wonderful way for a husband and a wife to come to old age. And even though they know that their youthful charms and all has faded away, that they're just the same to each other as they were. None of that's been lost in the oncoming of age. We just don't get tired of each other. A sister wrote us a letter once. She'd had a very sad experience in her life. She said, "I have always felt so secure in my husband's love. Folks, we need security. And don't you throw your head back and your chest out and say, I can make it on my own. I don't need anybody reassuring me. I don't need any security. But you do. And life isn't going to be to you what it should be to you without that assurance. And we should often remind one another, you're still my one and only. And nobody else. I heard a man relating on the radio one day about a fellow. He was a businessman, traveling man, had to go away from home and his business and so on. Well, on one of his trips to a distant city, he met up with one of his old high school girlfriends. His wife knew this girl too. And he took this girlfriend out to dinner or to lunch. And he phoned his wife and says, guess who I met today? Well, of course, she couldn't guess, so he told her. Said, we went out and had lunch together. Well, he knew quick that that didn't set good with his wife. And that she wasn't happy about that. And he said, oh, dear, he said, don't worry anything about it. You're still number one. But that didn't satisfy her. Number one, she wanted to be the only one. The one and only, and we need to keep reminding one another, you're my one and only. I don't have anybody but you. And if they get old, if they get decrepit, if they get a paralytic stroke and are put out of commission, they need it more than ever to know that you're going to stand by them and that you're my one and only. I'm still standing right by you. But this lady had had a very sad experience in life, and in her letter she said, I've always felt so secure in my husband's love until I found out that he had a girlfriend on the side and was stepping out on me. And that crushed her spirit. That broke her heart. It shook her up in her security. She didn't feel secure anymore. Folks, there's something about trifling that'll just destroy the secure feeling. There should never be any trifling in this matter. I've heard it said that the honeymoon should last right on through the marriage. Now I say that is totally impractical thinking. That could not be. On your honeymoon, you're pretty free from all responsibilities and obligations and just going places, seeing things, enjoying each other and so on. But that can't go on through life like that. When you get settled down to the nitty-gritties of maintaining a home and a family and supporting a wife and meeting the responsibilities of life, you can't be as carefree as the honeymoon. That's totally impractical thinking. But I do think that the courtship ought to carry right on through. In your courtship, you had your best foot forward, so to speak. Both of you did. And you were generous in your attentiveness to each other. And you were generous in tokens of tenderness and affection. You're trying to win each other's affections. And you did. And you got married. But let me tell you, it's going to be necessary to keep the same thing going in your marriage. It's going to take the same thing to hold that partner as it did to get that partner. And you're going to need to keep the same thing going clear on through all the way in the tokens and tender expressions and courtesies. Attentiveness, different things that you showed in your courtship, it needs to be alive now and active and going right on. I say that if you carried your girlfriend's packages, and who of us haven't, we wouldn't let them carry anything when we were courting them. We carried the packages and attended to that. I say we ought to carry their packages now. Same girl you courted. She's just a wife now, but she's entitled to the same courtesy and attention you showed her when you were courting her. You ought to carry her packages now. Now, I believe in that. And that's what I do. And I say that with my wife sitting right over here by my side hearing me say it. And when she goes shopping for groceries, when I hear the garage door rising out there and I know she's driving in, I just go right on through the house and get out there and meet her when she comes in, and I start carrying the groceries in. I thought it was real beautiful. Evelyn and I were visiting Brother and Sister Davis, who are both dead now. They were in the home of their son Freeman. And we visited there often. We got more or less acquainted with Freeman and his wife. And we were there visiting one day, and his wife had been out shopping. And she drove up in front of the steps, and he was sitting there talking maybe halfway in something he was saying or something. He just said, "Excuse me," and out the door he went. Got right out there to meet that car, and here he come carrying bags of groceries and things in out of that car. I thought that was beautiful. I thought that's a good cue for me. I'd been doing it a long time before I saw him do it, but... And if you walk down the street holding hands, hold her hand now. The same girl you courted, she's just as much entitled to those attentions now as she was then. I practice this. Evelyn and I walk down the street a big part of the time holding hands and just walking along. I'm not telling you anything that I don't measure up to myself. But just little tokens, little ways. If you opened the car door for her when you were courting her, and most of us did, let's open the car door for her now. Same girl you courted, she's entitled to the same tokens of courtesy and interest that she was when you were courting her. Open the car door for her now. Whatever you did, keep your best foot forward all your life. All the time. You had it forward when you were trying to win the affections of that partner. And you won them. Got married. Keep your best foot forward all your life. Just keep following that course in life. Right along. Now, well, the time's up, so I won't go into this next thought. Just let you digest what you've already received, and I hope that it'll be instructing and enlightening and a blessing to all of us in our lives.